Your trainer is, he's what? He's training you. There's a difference between teaching and training. Jesus taught the multitudes, but he trained his disciples. One of my key things in ministry is to train my team of disciples. Train them. Why? They are a seed. They are my spiritual seed. And for that seed to carry the right ingredients and be planted in the right way. You think of how genius Jesus was, that he took 12 disciples and changed the world. No iPhone, no Instagram, no anything like that. And he changed the planet. Why? He prepared that seed. Sometimes he was all gentle Jesus, meek and mild on them, you know, and other times he was katush kabaya, yamba. Yes. You don't know. You remember the twins, James and John. Lord, should we call fire down on this place? They've rejected your gospel. He said, you don't know what spirit you're from. I mean, that's right, straight in your face, isn't it? And when do you remember the multitudes? Jesus said, he preached that word in around John, I think it's chapter 8, somewhere like that. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And it's like, you know, the Bible says the multitudes left. And Jesus said to his disciples, why aren't you going? Go on, off you go. Do you see what I mean? They said, where are we going to go? We've given up everything, man. What, are we going to go back fishing? Forget it. This is what we want to do. This is our life. Why? Because there was something he had trained and prepared that seed ready to be sown. And he changed the world. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Praise God. So that's your offspring. That's your spiritual seed and your natural seed. We've got to train them, prepare them. Number two, your life is a seed, like I just mentioned in John chapter 12. Unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, I've realized in my life that some of the greatest results in ministry have been when I've died to my desires. When I've died to my, you know, like there've been times early on in my Christianity where I, like, you know, it's rain, it's howling with rain. You've got to get the bus. You don't want to go to church. It's like, oh God, I've had a rough week and now I've got to go to church. I've got to stand there at the bus stop and just wait for this cranky bus driver to come along and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I don't care. I'm dead to all that. I'm going anyway. Broke up car, like, oh my goodness me, don't even know whether you're going to make it home from church. Have you been there? I mean, like, loads of people have been there because that stuff, and the more, you see, that's kind of, in the eyes of Jesus Christ, that's minuscule dying. It feels like a lot to us at the time. It's like what Janita was sharing this morning about sowing her last 80 quid into the sacrifice when Prophet Nana was here. You see, like, what does 80 quid mean to you now? So little. But back then, it's so much. And as long as we see our seed as the little thing that we're sowing, whatever we're sowing, then that's the right attitude to our seed. And then that can multiply. It can multiply out in our life. It comes back on all sorts of ways. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, what is it? Is it chapter 11, verse 1? It says something like, cast your bread upon the waters. Is it Ecclesiastes 11:1? Yeah, look at that. Cast your bread. We had a Japanese lady in Harvest in the early days of Harvest, just the mid-1990s. And she was like, she'd just gotten saved. Somebody had given her a Bible, and she read this passage of scripture. And she said, I was so confused. I can't do the Japanese accent, but you'll get the thing. She said, I read in my Bible, cast your bread upon the surface of waters, for you find it after many days. She said, I didn't understand. She said, if I cast my bread on the waters, all I get back is soggy bread. But you see, it's what it's doing, it's encouraging us. This scripture is encouraging us. Cast, sow, become a sower. Become a sower. See your life as a seed. See your generations as a seed. And there's three other things that I want to mention. I want to find it in my notes here because they're so, so important that we see all this as a seed. five things: your life, your children. Number three, the Word of God. The Word of God is a seed. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, the Word of God is a seed. So sow it. Yeah. Really important. What did Jesus say? He said, the sower sows the word. Again, that foundational scripture, the parable of the sower. He says in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, he says, a sower went to sow. Or in, I think it's in the New American, it says, the farmer went to sow. Sorry, at the beginning of the parable. Yeah, next verse. Thank you. He was teaching them, yet next one after that, number three. Listen to this. He says, behold, the sower went to sow. Okay, question. Terry, what's your profession?
A police trainer.
Right. Auntie Abs, what's your profession?
A personal assistant.
Right. Ichioma, what's your profession?
Project manager.
Right. Wafapi, what's your profession?
Sales assistant.
Right. Now, in heaven's realm, you're a sower. So our profession should be sower. What do you do for a living? I'm a sower. You see, our income is what we define ourselves by a lot of the time. But God is saying, take your mindset off of what you do. What's your profession? Chef. But God is saying, right, detach that head, stick it over there, stick this new head on. From now on, I'm a sower. Everything I do is a seed. I get on the bus, the cranky bus driver is there, and I say, good morning. How are you doing? It's good to see you. Glad you made it through the snow. What are you doing? You're sowing. Man, if you can get this, if you can get this thing, let sowing become your profession. You'll see your children as a seed. Yeah? Ava and Eden and Ava, they're not just your children, they're your seed. So you've got to prepare them to be sown into the next generation. Boom, lights in a dark place. Leaders, the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lender to many nations and not the borrower. Do you see what I mean? That's their destiny. What are you doing? You're preparing them as that seed. You're training them up. You're molding them. Behold, a sower went to sow. What's your profession, Auntie Ro?
A sower.
From now on, you're a sower. Yes. Yeah. What do you do for a living? I sow. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we can just switch mindsets and understand this principle, it's incredibly powerful, because then we qualify. What did Jesus say then? He said in verse number 14, I think it is, he says, the sower sows the word. So one of the primary seeds that we sow in our lives is the word of God. Look at this in Luke 17, right? I want you to catch this, because like some of you, the lights are coming on, and the way you see life will be different by the grace of God in Jesus' name. Look at what happens in Luke 17 and verse number 5. The apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith, right? And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say this to the mulberry tree, be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it would obey you, right? Stay on that verse for a second. Okay. Or we would say, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would sow. Because you are sowing by saying. You are sowing by saying. Your word is a seed. The sower sows the word. Right? Now, In this instance, I don't know. I think Jesus uses this really quite nonsensical example. Why would you tell a tree to get up and move? Apart from the fact that you know, a tree is an inanimate object. And therefore, like he's talking, he's saying, yes, he said, this is divine right. This is divine permission to speak to inanimate objects. Speak to your house and say, house, you're too small for us. In the name of Jesus, I command you to enlarge. Car, you're great. You're going to serve me well. You're never going to break down. But I command you to be bigger in the name of Jesus. I command you to be greater. Do you see what I mean? Whatever it is, qualifications. Whoa, the number of times that I was presented with challenges that were so out of my depths. I wouldn't only have drowned, you'd have never found my carcass. I mean, that's how big these projects were. And I say, wisdom, you are my sister. Understanding, you're my close, intimate friend. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is an insurmountable issue. There's an insurmountable problem. But by the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be moved and cast into the sea in Jesus' mighty name. And you just put like, you know, when you have to, sometimes it's like when your back's against the wall, the best comes out in you. I was just thinking back to your testimony again, Jan. You know, if you said it yourself that, you know, if you hadn't been in that position where everything was on the line, then your sacrifice wouldn't have meant as much to God or to you as a result. And that's the way God does with us sometimes. It's like when your back's against the wall and you come out shooting, that's when they see the best of you. Hallelujah. But really, you know what? We can push on. We can advance. We can go forward without having to have our backs against the wall all the time. How many people would have a better life if they pulled out their Bible more often than when their backs were against the wall? Yeah. Common disease. Absolutely. So, so common. May God forgive us in Jesus' mighty name. But you see, Jesus has given us an example here. He said, if you had faith like a seed, you'd sow it. How do you sow it? By saying it. You would say, and it will obey. So I can tell how much faith you've got by what you're saying. Amen. Yeah, so we can put our faith to work the way that Lewis Hamilton will put his Formula One car to work. Do you see what I mean? You can refine it to that. The way that a fine mechanic would put a machine to work, or the way that an architect would just create this just work of genius that stops people in the street and they think, wow, what an awesome building. What an amazing structure. How on earth did they come? You know, what vision did they have to bring this thing about? It's just really amazing the capability that God has put on the inside of us that we don't know is there until we let it bloom. We let it blossom. If you think about it, right, this is the season right now of seed time. Springtime in the UK. It's the season of seed time. And we can learn so much by understanding the principles of seed time and harvest. And this is why God gives us five things that we are that compares to a seed in the Bible. I want to go to number four now. So far, let me just recap. We've got your descendants as a seed, your life as a seed, the word of God as a seed. Number four, your money as a seed. Sow it deliberately. Sow your money deliberately. We tithe. That tithe belongs to the Lord. That's God's. That's not ours to sow, so to speak. That is financial circumcision. Lord, I'm going to live your ways. Okay, he says, right, bring the tithe into the storehouse, etc., etc., etc. That is God's portion in the thing. But he promises the windows of heaven open as a result. Now, If I wish I could illustrate this to you by actually having, but the idea only came to me this morning in the bath, so I didn't have time to knock up anything. But if I had a windows here, let's say for instance, right, that this represents the kingdom of heaven, these windows here, right? And God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that they may be meat in my house. Meat is talking of that kind of revelation that empowers you. Meat will give you strength for achievement. If you're going into battle, you don't want to be eating watery soup. You want to be eating meat so you can go out and face your enemies. It will give you energy and strength, etc., etc., right? So he says that there may be meat in my house. He says, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Right. Now, the windows of heaven aren't bomb doors. They're windows. So stuff isn't going to fall out of the window by accident. If someone's on the other side of this window and they're pouring in something, they've got to use a measure. And Jesus said this. He says, the measure that you measure, it will be measured back to you. So the windows of heaven can be open, but if you've measured your offering by a teaspoon, then what is God going to use measure for measure? A teaspoon. If you've used a scoop, then he'll use what? A scoop. If you've used a wheelbarrow, what's going to happen? A wheelbarrow. Now, most of us, you see, and this is why we've got to see our money as a seed, most of us can't start off at a wheelbarrow level. I've never brought a wheelbarrow of cash into a place as an offering. I'm probably on a small bowl level. And as a result, when the windows of heaven are open in my life, bowl measures are coming back. What is that then? The Bible says he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now they're made from the same thing. Right? The bread is just basically seed that is ground down, shoved in the oven, and it becomes bread, right? So this thing that he's talking about that we know so well in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, talking about sowing and reaping, financial farming, we have to see ourselves as financial farmers. And I thank God for that as a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. The sower sows. From now on, I see myself as a sower. I'm going to see myself sowing the word. I'm going to see myself sowing my children. I'm going to see myself sowing my life. I'm going to see myself sowing the word. Do you see what I mean? All these kind of things are seeds that we can sow if we see ourselves the right way. Deliberately, on purpose. We have that saying. In fact, I used it when I asked the question earlier about people and what they do for a job. It's called a profession because that's what we profess. Do you see what I mean? So we are professional sowers. That's where I'm convinced with all my heart that I sowed my way into my job. I'm convinced with all my heart. I sowed the word. I work for God. I work for God. I work for God. In fact, if you know the testimony of how I got into full-time ministry, that was exactly the word that I sowed out of my mouth in a prophetic encounter. I work for God. And then suddenly I said, whoa, I work for God. God wants me to give up my job. Cushy job, lovely income. I mean, you know, you could do the thing comatose. And you know, I used to finish at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon and just, you know, chill, go shopping or something. But my profession had already changed on the inside. And as a result, my profession was changing on the outside. Now, dude, there's sometimes some stuff comes out of your mouth that God has put in there that you wish in the moment, you just wish. It's like, you know, when you hear God say, if you want me to prove myself to you as your father, sow it all, give it all. And like Jan, you run off to the toilet and cry and say, Jesus, Now you've even got my money. Oh, God, help me. But you see, that's part of it. What are you doing? You're changing lanes. You are changing professions. You are becoming a professional sower. And the more we see, know, and understand this, the more we comprehend this, the easier that process can become. Because it's painful. Dude, I went from a lovely, I had a brand new, 3 weeks old. I picked it up from the garage with 19 miles on the clock because they'd driven it to the petrol station and back to fill it up with fuel. Brand new Vauxhall Astra Sport, when the Astra Sport was the car to have. Brand spanking new, 3 weeks old. And I had to drop the key back off to my boss. And actually, that day, I had to get the bus home. And from there, somebody lent me a Ford Cortina Mark IV that you start with a knife. The dude, I'm not joking you, the dude didn't have keys. He didn't even have a key to the car. I said, have you got the key? I said, oh, no. He said, just use a knife, son. And he pulls a kitchen knife out of the thing. He says, there you go. That was it. And I'm sitting there in this Mark IV Cortina. Now, you see, okay, if sower wasn't my profession, what would I be thinking? Take out the violins and absolutely massive mistake. But you see, because sower was my profession, I knew right then, God is my witness, I knew right then, whatever situation I end up in as a result of taking this step of faith, I can sow my way out of it. That was my confession. I don't care what I'm driving right now because I can sow my way out of it. And even, you see, we've thought so much, right? Here's one thing that we do. We think we tie our seed so much, our seed thinking so much with money that often we miss what God is doing. Because we're not sowers by profession, we don't realize that we can sow kindness. We can sow a meal. We can sow. I remember God showing me this back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I had no cash to sow. I thought, you know what? I've got some shirts I don't use. I can sew my shirts. And I just gave my shirts to charity. I used to give all my old clothes to the Salvation Army. And all of a sudden, suddenly, I noticed this advert. One of those Evening Standard adverts in the bottom of the newspaper that nobody reads. And it said something like sample sale, blah, blah, blah. This shop in Goswell Road that does, I don't know, they import suits and stuff like that. And I was wearing 500 quid suits that cost me like 60, 70 quid all of a sudden. And I know that my seed made the way for that to happen. I know it. My secondhand shirts. A lot of people, they'll give stuff to charity, but they won't realize that they can use that as a seed. Yes. Our words as a seed. I was in Aldi, sorry Godfrey, I know you're the Lidl man, but now I'm the Aldi man. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anyone else shop at Aldi? Oh, mate, it's posher than Lidl, isn't it? Yes, definitely. I was in Aldi yesterday, and for some reason, the lady in front of us was just having a narky go at the cash till lady. And there was only one cash till open, and, you know, it was like, I mean, it wasn't long of a wait, you know? And, I mean, she'd wait longer for, like, microwave noodles, probably. And so she's there. But she gets to the checkout, her go, and she's having a really nasty go at this young girl who's not responding to her. And she says, do you like your job? Do you like working here? And just really condescending, really insulting. So I'm watching all this, and I thought, you know what? My turn is coming. So the lady packs up her shopping, goes out to her car, still huffing and puffing. And I said to the checkout guy, I said, wow. I said, can I say, you handled that so well. I said, well done. I said, I hope you have a really nice day today. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, shall I curse that other woman? So she gets stuck in the snow. She'll spend 4.5 hours in traffic and wonder why. But I know, I let that one go. I said, well done. She says, yeah, you know, she was giving me the eye from way back in the thing. And I thought, gosh, what a nasty way to be. What's she sowing? Discord, strife. She doesn't even know it, but the laws of sowing and reaping are working in her life. And that young girl, thank God, she had the presence of mind to just let it wash past. And then when I came up, and her face brightened up. And I just said, have a great day. She said, thank you. Next customer. And she was all chirpy again, you know. But that's, you see, what is that? I'm sowing something. I'm sowing a happy feeling into her life. And you see, these things are seeds. Right? The Lord gives us these five things. That was number four. And number five really is from Luke 17. Number five is your faith. So we've got your descendants as a seed, your life as a seed, your children as a seed, the word of God as a seed. Oh, sorry, hang on a second. Your life, your children, the word of God, your money, and the last one, your faith. Your faith as a seed. Sow your faith as a seed. I loved that Hayat testimony. I was thinking of this morning again when I was preparing the testimony of you just packing up your stuff. I don't care. I'm packing by faith, packing up the boxes. Have you moved in yet? Moving. When are you moving in?
By the end of the month.
By the end of this month. Praise God. But I've seen, apparently Junior's seen the pictures. He wouldn't even show me. Yesterday, I was in the gym sweating away. And yeah. And it's a beautiful place, right? Praise God. And this is the thing, you know, when something like that comes out of your mouth and God says, yes, that's faith. That's what, there's a sound that goes off in the spirit. It's like, bing, you've hit the right answer. Job done, well done, here it is. And it's like, that's the thing to aim for. We've got to sow our faith deliberately. I can't remember how many times I declared that I wasn't moved by that car in the name of Jesus when I'm driving that Mark IV piece of junk. And I'm not joking. I mean, the handbrake, you know, like you really did have to park it on a level. What I used to do is I used to turn the steering wheel at that way so that if it did start to roll down the hill, it would just roll and hit the curb and stop. Imagine, what a junk heap. But you know what? That was just where I was at. And I knew on the inside of me that assurance, there is nothing I'll encounter that I can't sow my way out of. In Jesus' mighty name, professional sower. Isaiah chapter 28, and I want us to look at verse number 23. Isaiah 28, verse 23. And we'll just whisk through this really quick. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Does he not level its surface and sow dill, scatter cumin, and plant wheat in rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For it is God, for his God instructs and teaches him properly. For dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is the cart wheel driven over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it. He does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. When I first read that scripture, my goodness, I thought, what on earth is God on about? It's like he's off on one. Do you know what I mean? You ever read some scripture and it's like he's off on one. It's like the begats. A lot of people don't have so-and-so begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so, and they don't understand. Generations are really important to God. Your DNA comes from your generations, and it's really, really important you know the DNA of your generations. Really important. Know your cultural, your national, your tribal heritage. It's really, really important because that can determine the way you behave in certain ways, can determine the outcome of your life if you don't break some of the demonic strongholds from your generations. That's just the way it is. So when I read that scripture, I'm thinking, gosh, Lord, what are you on about? And this is what God said to me. He said, certain seeds have to be prepared in certain ways. Talking about the professional sower. So we've graduated from the project manager, from the salesman, from the trainer. Now we're all professional sowers. So we've got to know that certain seeds deserve to be sown in certain ways. Certain things have to be prepared in certain ways. That we have to go about this professionally. You're not going to grind wheat until it's nothing. Otherwise, it's not going to make good bread. He says that you can't smash out dill. It's got to be beaten. Do you see what I mean? It's got to be like whacked out and loosened. Cumin, you've got to deal with that certain seed that certain way and prepare it all this and that way. It's really, really important that we understand which way to sow what, where, and how, and etc. Really important. If our life is a seed, then it's going to be sown deliberately. We've got to learn how to. We can't just sow it any old way. We've got to get God's strategy, God's agenda. If our money is going to be seen as a seed, we've got to learn how to plant it, how to give it. There's certain things that you say no to, and there's certain things that you never say no to. Do you see what I'm saying? There's all manner of different ways, different things that we have to plan and to operate. I really want to encourage you, dig into that scripture. We had to skirt it fast just for the sake of time, but dig into that scripture. Isaiah 28, verse 23 to 29 is really, really, really important that we see what God is saying, because at the end of that verse, he says, "This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great." So he's talking about more than farming. Right there. There's something hidden for you and for I about how to behave, how to sow, how to live our lives as a seed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? Thank God for his word. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this lifestyle. Professional sowers. Lord, let that be our portion, our inheritance. In the mighty name of Jesus, let us see our lives as that seed. See our lives, Heavenly Father, as that thing that you have prepared for us to sow. Unless a grain of wheat shall fall to the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it's sown correctly, it will bear much fruit. And that fruit shall abide. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.